This podcast contains sexually explicit discussion, and if you're under 18, then it's time to switch off, as it's meant for your parents. And believe us, you really don't want to listen now.
Hi, I'm Mr. G.
I'm Mrs. G.
And we are...
The Sexless Swingers.
So, Mrs. G, what are you wearing and what are you drinking?
I am on a glass of white wine tonight, and I'm in my black skinny jeans and a black bodysuit.
Looking very nice, as usual.
Thank you.
So this is episode 39 already. Why have we got this far this quickly?
Are we going to have a party for our 40th?
Well, for our 40th, we are. We're effectively at a party this weekend.
No, I know. We should have a party on the pod. Party on the pod.
There's only us two.
I know, right? I'll get streamers and stuff.
Oh, well, great.
40th. A coming of age party on
worked,
the pod.
That works really well on an audio form.
We could do a popper, like a, you know, a party popper or something.
Oh, I thought you were inviting me to do something else with you then.
No.
So, exciting today, we've had a new couple join the cruise.
We have, yes. So we're up to how many now? 28 people, yeah.
And there's, I don't know, three, four couples still considering that.
Yeah, been inquiring.
So
that's rattling along. The months are rattling along. Before you know it, we're going to be sat here going, oh, it's next week and we're going.
Yeah, and it's nice because everybody's starting to really get to know each other now because the chat sort of pops along and sometimes it's relatively quiet, other times it's non-stop.
Breakneck, yeah.
It's like
lovely.
Any chat, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's great. So, talking of new people, one of the things that I did before we went to Purple Mamba, which we were talking about in the last episode, just before that, I went and met one of my close vanilla friends.
Yeah.
And he is the first vanilla person that I have told about as being in the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Now, you've already done this with your oldest friend.
Yeah.
Not in age terms, but in...
No, I've known a more, a whole chunk of my life.
Yeah, since school, I think. So you told that obviously we've got the neighbours from our vanilla life who know, but that's it.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, I went out with him and the conversation just really led on because he's...
Did you have it in your head you were going to tell him before you went?
Well, I nearly did the last time I saw him, which was months ago, because he always jokes about it.
What do you mean he jokes about it?
Ever since we went on a Virgin Voyage. He's
really?
Swingers cruise. So
I mean, sorry to kind of throw in here, but what is this with Virgin Voyages and people thinking it's a swinger cruise?
It's the word's adult only.
Because it's adult only. But we have seen evidence today, yes, we're on a sailing group for our family sailing that we're going on at the end of the month.
With Mammy and Pappy, our lifestyle friends.
Yeah, but they're taking their kids too.
They are.
You can just hang out with your lifestyle friends. You know,
of course.
You know, so that's what we're doing. But there was some conversation going on and a gentleman has replied to you basically asking for our room number.
He has, but I'm not convinced why he's asked me. I think he's probably more after you, if we're honest.
Well, you're...
It was definitely a pineapple vibe with him.
Massively. But the point is, I've never been on any... Well, I've not. I'm sure maybe it's happened with others. But we've not been on a Facebook Virgin Voyage group. A mainstream, you know, just like a regular sailing group, and had anybody go, what's your room number? Not a single one.
We have.
Have we?
We have. There was, do you not remember there was an American lady who, on the last September cruise that we went on Virgin?
Oh, with
American
she was
lady.
Desperate Debbie, though. She was asking everybody, to be fair. But this...
Was she? Different she, woman.
Oh, that was another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, no. Yeah, she'd actually, I think she DM'd. Or she put it on something. I can't remember the context now, but she was literally... She actually put her room number.
Yeah. The Americans are more forward. They're more forward than us with this. It's something we're learning.
Well, actually, we have actually discussed this with Mammy and Pappy recently.
We have, yeah.
Because they've observed the same, that the Americans are much more direct and they... Very much more, put it out there, this is what we want,
yeah,
so as not to waste time.
The Brits are reserved in many ways, until we're in the moment, but the kind of the hook-up side of it.
But we're sort of the stiff upper lip and they're just about the stiff cock, basically.
Anyway, like I say, regular sailing, Mr. What's your cabin number? It just shows it's not just Virgin. I have no idea. It just shows, really, doesn't it, that swingers everywhere. Not just Virgin Voyages.
Cruises are known for it. Obviously, they do the specific swingers cruises as well, which are sort of takeovers.
Yeah, it's not that, though. That's not
what
we're on.
No, not with the kids. Definitely not. Jeez. But Yeah, I think it happens on every cruise. If you remember, on our last family one, the neighbours, not the neighbours, as in the people next door in the cabin to us, they actually had pineapples all over the door one night.
Yeah, very out there again.
I think as it becomes a bit more known, though, the whole pineapple thing, people are doing it as jokes as well.
I think so. Anyway, go back to your night out
sorry.
With your mate.
So I went out with him and I hadn't had it in my mind, but I thought if it comes up, I don't mind telling
him. You were prepared.
I obviously trust him. I've known him a long time, probably 20 years almost. And yeah, he's not really judgmental sort or anything like that. But it started off because he said he'd actually had a day out with his partner.
Right.
And they'd got some childcare, etc. And he said, you know, we went for whatever they did in the day and then we went for a meal. He said, and she said to me, do you fancy going for some drinks? And he said, I tell you what, Mr. G. Obviously, he calls me by my normal name.
Yeah.
He said, I just said, no, let's go home. Me being me. He said, how did you fancy getting straight into it then?
Yeah.
And he went, no, I just run out of things to say.
Oh.
Yeah, because okay. Their life has become literally the child.
Yeah.
And that's the main bulk of the life. They both work. They have a child.
There's
well, they have
no,
a couple of children, but one younger.
Yeah, they've not got that spark. It's not there.
Well, yeah.
So how did you then just drop in, oh, by the way,
well,
I
no,
fuck other women?
We didn't quite phrase it like
but
that.
Come on, how did you?
No, we got chatting later on, and I can't remember what he said. He said something about, do you get out much or something like that together? Because I've not seen him for, I don't know, since before Christmas.
Right.
And I said, well, funnily enough, we do get out a lot more now because we've sort of had a change in circumstances. And then we've got a bit of a new hobby.
Well, you sat there with your black ring on and your black bands while you're like telling him this.
I was indeed, yeah.
Because you're quite, when you talk, you gesticulate quite a bit.
It says coming from you.
I know, but I don't sit there with my black band on.
You're very good with your hands. But, no, you do give off big swinger vibes, though.
Don't twist this into me. Let's get back on board with you. You're sat there with your mate with your black ring on and your black bands.
So anyway,
going, oh, we've
said,
had a change
got a new
in circumstances.
Hobby. And he's like, what? I said, we've sort of got involved in swinging.
Is that actually what you said?
Pretty much, yeah. I think, we'll just put it out there. Why not? And he went, what? Like, sex and stuff.
What, like they see on Channel 4?
He didn't say that.
Did you ask if you went dogging?
No, he didn't ask if we went dogging.
Because that's often the next question, isn't it?
No.
Did he ask you how many people?
Later on he did.
Right, did he ask him, what, like, has he asked you whether you'd done an orgy?
He didn't. Basically, I sort of said it, and I said, oh, there's a little bit more as well.
Can I ask you a question, because I need to understand?
Yeah.
Were you eating food at this time?
No, we didn't eat food.
Oh, you just asked me to drink?
Yeah.
Did he put his drink down? Did he stop?
No, we were sat at a table. So we were in the Trafford Centre, which is like a big shopping mall. So we were sat sort of outside in.
Yeah.
So it's all inside, but it feels like an outside
but
of the pub.
When you then said to him, we're kind of got into swinging, I'm trying to visualise what did
Well,
you
I didn't
do?
Tell him after he'd just taken a mouthful of drink because I didn't want to get sprayed.
That's what I'm thinking.
If I'm getting sprayed, it's off you.
Did he not do a double take or anything?
He looked quite shocked.
Right.
But not massively surprised, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I sort of said, oh, there's a little bit more. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, well, we sort of got a bit of a podcast about it. And he went, well, what do you mean? He's not the sort to listen to podcasts, really. He's quite old school.
Thank God.
And I said, before we really started, we decided to chat about it. I said, we'd just recorded it and put it out there. And he went, well, you know, who listens? And I'm like, well, so I got the app out that, and I just scrolled through the countries where we have listeners. And at first he's like looking, and then I kept on scrolling, and I kept on scrolling. And it's like 100 countries.
Yeah.
And he's like, holy fuck. He said, really? And I'm like, yeah. I did also say we had a Twitter account.
Has he seen my
well, I just sort of scrolled quickly through and he went, fucking hell, is that Mrs. G? Obviously, he's G.
Yeah.
And I went, yeah. He's going, fucking hell.
This is a bit weird. I know him in a different way. Has he seen my boobs?
No, I don't think your boobs are out. Which is unusual.
What?
For now. No, I think there was two or three where you had some underwear on. It might have been. No, it couldn't have been the purple mum. Oh, no, it was the penthouse one. Because we've been to penthouse and you had the nipple tape on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You're looking good.
All right. Oh, I feel a bit awkward.
Well, fucking hell, you put it out there for anybody to see.
I know, but that's faceless. But, like, I know him. So it feels different. Because...
Imagine how he felt them.
Hard, probably.
Maybe. But, no, so we talked through that and he was just like, he just, there was no judgment. There was no, what on earth are you doing that for? He was more interested, cross-fascinated.
And right.
I think it's important to tell people this because I'm sure lots out there want to tell people but don't know how people react. You had a positive reaction from your friend. I've had a positive reaction from my friend. My friend is in his early 50s.
So
he was just fascinated. So it was all the questions like, do you have full sex with people?
I think it would be really fascinating because we've not yet done this. If you then met my friend or I then met your friend.
We're not fucking them.
No, but I do wonder if their whole body language and disposition would change around us all of a sudden now. Because people would be a bit like, do you want to fuck me? And if you're not considering fucking me, why are you not considering fucking me? What's wrong with me? We know that. But when you're not lifestyle and your mates told you that you are lifestyle, I think it would change things. I think they would... If you, as a couple, if you went out as a couple with them, they'd be a bit like...
They're not a couple.
Who's not a couple?
The two friends we've told.
No, they're not a couple. No, they've got their own partners.
You mean like six of us?
Can you imagine? No. Just no, right? No. It's just no.
So he asked all the classic questions that you'd expect of, well, do you have full sex? What's the sex like? And it's like, well, it's like sex, basically. You know, how many? And I didn't want to sort of go into that particular because, you know, why? I just said a few experiences. Is it threes or fours? You know, is it other couples?
Yeah.
All classic questions, or is it moles?
Right.
Where do you go to do this? Because
I think they're good, healthy questions, though. Yeah.
So it was, well, there's clubs, and it was like, clubs?
Yeah.
You know, hold on, tell me about the clubs. So there was a bit about clubs, obviously hotels. Where do you meet these people? And it's like, well, there's actually quite a, you know, big amount
community
of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think... You know, to say community, it's not really like everybody knows each other, but...
No, but it's not, but you are part of something when you enter the lifestyle.
Yeah, I suppose so. So it was all those sort of questions, all healthy, all interesting.
Right.
Whether he's listened to the podcast or not, I don't know. I have heard from him since, so he's not like disowned.
Not done a runner.
No. But we weren't talking about anything lifestyle. It was...
But
you know,
exactly, because it's not your entire life.
No,
it's a part of your life.
And likewise, it's not his life, so it's just, you know, part of who I am. But no, he seemed interested. I obviously asked him not to tell anybody. He said he wouldn't even tell his partner, which I thought was interesting.
Maybe he's worried that his partner's actually bored because he wanted to go home on a night out and he's thinking that she's going to want to enter the lifestyle.
What, with me?
Just with anybody, quite frankly, because if my other half, if we'd gone on a night out and we'd gone for a few drinks and she's like, oh, should we do this, should we do the other? And he's like, I just want to go home. He doesn't even want to go home and have sex. He just wants to go home. I would be like, okay, what's going on here? Because that's just stalemate.
Would you have been like that, I don't know, 5 years ago now?
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Yeah, you almost can't go back.
But we had smaller children.
Yeah.
So I was... much more tired. I had more responsibilities. Mm. So
also,
it's different.
You can't go back.
You can't go back.
That's why we did the podcast when we did. Because now, if we were just starting the podcast now, we couldn't go back and speak with the authenticity that we did at the
time. Absolutely.
Because it all seems lame now.
Yeah, totally that.
Mm. So, no, it was an interesting one.
Mm.
Yeah, as I say, lots of questions.
Did he ask the classic... You let her do that?
He didn't actually, no.
All right. Okay, he's gone up in my estimation.
No,
because
I think
that's a very blokey type of question. And no, I don't agree with it in the slightest.
I explained that there's different dynamics out there. He explained that our dynamic is that we're a couple, we play with other couples primarily.
Yeah.
And that effectively it becomes a swap a lot of the time for, you know, but it's in the same room. He did ask what of the same bed, and which again, you know, it's like, well, you know, first on the bed's lucky, the next person's got to jump on the floor or something. Of course not. So,
no, I think they're practical type questions.
I think he did say, what's it like seeing another man's cock?
Oh. What is going into me?
Not in like a hot way.
Not going into me, you didn't mean. I mean just in general. Do you not see other men's cocks when you go to the toilet?
Well, not hard.
Oh, right. Did he specify erect?
Well, that's what I assume. I thought he meant during play.
Women don't ask these questions. We don't go, what's it like to see another woman's boobs? Nobody even thinks about it.
Well, yeah, but boobs are on display all the time. I'm not sure.
Are they though?
As a man, you see, we discussed this about condom sizes in the last episode. Up until lifestyle, I don't think I'd ever seen in person another erect penis.
Astonishing. And I mean, it is and it isn't. I get you, because why would you?
Well, that's like saying, before the lifestyle, had you seen an aroused vagina?
It doesn't. There's not an obvious difference or often with a vagina that's aroused. And I wouldn't, yes, fair enough, you're not going around just looking at vaginas,
but you
so
see,
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I just don't think women would ask that question, what's it like to see an aroused vagina? I don't think we would say that
to each
other.
It's not as visual, though, is it?
But I don't think
not as obvious.
I don't think we'd say, what's it like to see another vagina? You might say, what's it like to see him entering a vagina or with his fingers in a vagina? You might say that to each other because that's a bit more kind of girl to girl how you would chat.
But don't get me wrong, he wasn't like, what's it like seeing Mrs. G fucking another gay or anything? But
I think
just
that would be a fair question though. Maybe not quite as crude. I mean we're being
quite
crude.
I might have said actually, until you're in that position, not literally, until you're in the position where you with other another couple having sex, it's actually really hot. And it's also because, again, go back to it, it's difficult to remember what it was like when
prior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it genuinely is like you are having sex as a couple with another couple. That's what you're doing. So it becomes part of your sex life.
Yeah.
And so it is hot.
But it's so hard to articulate that to somebody that is just going home on a night out because he's had enough.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I mean?
And it's also, it's not that I don't know, some people do, but I wouldn't necessarily find it hot to think, right, you're off out with your girlfriend tonight and you're fucking a bloke. That's not hot to me.
Yeah.
Because it's part of what we do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's from my side, me telling my male vanilla friend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one friend each we've told now. Balance is restored.
I know.
And we've obviously got the neighbours who were vanilla friends and aren't anymore. Lifestyle friends.
Not planning on telling anyone else, though, I'll tell you that much.
No, not that I can think of. Right, Purple Mamba, Mrs. G. Mm. We, on the last episode, we chatted it through. We weren't feeling the group particularly. We toyed with whether or not
the chat group, this is.
Yeah. We toyed with whether or not it was worth the journey over to Nottingham because it's a bastard of a journey.
Yeah.
But we went.
We did.
We went across. It was a bastard of a journey.
Yeah.
But we got across Friday evening, got to the hotel, got ready in pretty quick time. There wasn't time to go to the sort of pre-social before the event.
No, unfortunately, yeah.
And so we rocked up to the club. I think we got there about 8:30. It was starting from 8 o'clock. And we arrived at the club. So it's not on an industrial estate.
I know, bonus.
Yes, it is just near one of the two football grounds. I think it's the Nottingham Forest
one. It's kind of not sure this word works, but I'm going to go with it anyway. Almost whimsical, because you're on a main street and you got to go down like a little alleyway to it.
Yeah, it's not such
like
a little,
it's back not, streets, isn't it? Really,
it's not like a tiny ginnel or
no,
anything.
No, it's not a ginnel. Right, Southerners are not going to know what a ginnel is. It's a northern word. The Americans are going to have no idea. A ginnel is a very small passageway between terraced houses.
Yeah, it's probably about it's 3 feet
that.
Wide.
It's more like back streets, as I would describe
yeah,
it's, them.
Yeah, you could get a car down it.
Yeah, yeah, but still, I kind of remember like coming off that main road.
It's all lit up, isn't it?
And getting sight of it and going, oh, right, is that it? And it was, I was pleasantly surprised. Like you say, it's not on an industrial state. It doesn't look like it's falling down, bonus. And it doesn't, it's not dressed up as something that it's not.
No,
so it doesn't look like
got
it's
sort of fairy lights, I suppose, outside.
But it's
it.
Kind of appealing.
Yeah, there's a little bit of an outside area
I
for smokers
think
and things.
You could, if you were totally vanilla, having a night out, stumble across this place and go, all right, what's going on here then? You know what I mean? Like, because of the fairy lights outside
it would be
in summer.
The best night of your fucking life.
Well, man. Maybe, but you could though.
So we got checked in. One of the staff members checked us in. Obviously, our name was down because it was a private event. We went in and let's talk about the club.
Yeah.
So putting the whole night aside, I really liked it.
The club, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. It's got a feel not dissimilar to Townhouse.
I would agree.
It's not really a nightclub-esque. So we've talked about Penthouse Playrooms in the past, which
very
is like a large nightclub
yeah, but
with playrooms.
The owner did say that they quite often have a DJ on a regular night, and there is a dance floor. It's only
yeah.
relatively small. But
and somebody we've spoken to who goes relatively regularly said they even have live acts in there.
Yeah.
Not like sex acts, like playing
it
an
is
instrument.
Townhousey feeling because it's got lots of kind of rooms. They flow, but they're little rooms really, aren't they?
Well, you walk in straight into the bar, so it's like an entrance hall come bar area. So you walk in, the bar's on the right hand side. Not a big bar, but relatively well stocked. And
yeah,
it's
nice,
it's
friendly staff there.
Feels a bit
well.
Like a living room in a way.
Like Townhouse.
Yeah, exactly. So you walk in, then to the left, there is another room. Again, not a massive room, like a, well, class as a decent sized living room, really.
Yeah.
And then there's a step up to another small area with some seats and a locker area.
Yeah, and that's where the sort of the dance floor would be as well.
Yeah, and that's downstairs.
Yes.
That's it. So yeah. It's two main rooms. And
oh,
then,
the toilets are downstairs
and then,
as well.
Yeah, as you walk to the staircase to go upstairs, mm-hmm. there's a small holding area,
vestibule,
I suppose.
Cloakroom yeah. area, actually, it is what, because there's lockers there.
Oh, is there lockers
yeah,
there?
There's
so
more
there's
lockers
some
there.
Lockers and there's two toilets
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
And then there is a sort of thin staircase,
yeah.
like a house staircase.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
You go upstairs, and then something that you really liked about this,
I've never noticed it or seen this in a club before. So we go upstairs, and that's where the playrooms are. But before you hit the corridor where the playrooms are off, there is an area which is filled with sort of sofas all around the outskirt walls, isn't there?
Yeah, and a bench
and a couple
almost
of
like
tables
a
in the middle.
Footstool in the middle, like
yeah.
a coffee table come footstool.
Yeah, and it's almost, it almost feels a little bit like a holding area before the playrooms, but it's not as
stark
as that. It feels very chill. There's, because it's sofas, everyone's kind of in a relaxed
yeah, it's
position.
It's like a shag pile rug on the floor.
Yeah. But what I liked about it was the fact that you could transition easily from downstairs, where I think in an ordinary sense there's no play down there, and I didn't see any play down there even on a takeover night.
No, I didn't.
So you could transition up to this holding area, we'll call it, lounge area, before the playrooms, where you could get to know people a
yeah,
little bit
there's
more.
Probably sort of large, there's three large sofas and sort of a bench style sofa.
Yeah.
Probably they were large, so probably enough for around 15 people.
I would think more than that.
Not when meant to sit down, really.
Yeah, but then people sit on each other's knees, and you could definitely, you'd have a fair amount of people in that little area,
yeah.
I think. But like I say, what I liked about it is it gives you that moment. If you're connecting with somebody, rather than going, oh, shall we go upstairs now, which could just be that bit too much, but you kind of want to sit in a more relaxed environment, that little area is absolutely bang
yeah.
on perfect.
So if you knew the club, you could say to somebody, oh, there's a nice area upstairs, do you want to go and
yeah.
sit? And then you could transition.
You could transition really easily if you get space. But if you didn't and you wanted to play on those chairs, I'm sure you could as well. I'm sure that if it's upstairs, there was play allowed, I think, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, there was some play in that area later on.
Yeah.
I think a guy and a woman and a couple of women and so forth.
Yeah.
We're playing nothing sort of no full sex or anything. Just
no.
just more a bit of
mouths
play,
and
really.
Stuff.
So the playrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I thought the playrooms were really good.
Yeah. So again, it's not massive, this.
No. No, it's quite a small club, but then obviously you don't have as many people. Yeah, so it works. It didn't feel too full and it didn't feel empty. It was just the right... Yeah. There was probably about 70 people there.
Yeah, yeah.
Felt like the right number for the club. Yeah. So if you picture, there's the holding area at the top of the stairs to the left. Then there's a corridor in front of you.
Yes.
And off the corridor, there's a series of rooms. So the first room is an orgy room, basically.
Mm-hmm.
There's... I'm guessing it's like a black leather bed, really, or...
Was that not the room on two different levels?
Yeah, basically, that you step up to the bed.
Yes, yeah.
And it's, I don't know, 4 feet high or something like that. Yeah, so,
it was a decent-sized room, that, as an orgy
Yeah, you
room.
Get a decent amount of people in there.
Yeah.
Nice room, yeah. Nice orgy room, well lit.
Yeah, the right lighting in all the rooms.
Yeah, perfect lighting all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, win-win.
Yeah, so that's the first playroom. The next playroom is literally one king-size bed.
Yeah.
It's basically against the back wall and it just looks like a bedroom.
Yeah.
So there's one king size bed. So enough.
I didn't note whether that room had a lockable door or not. I don't know.
I don't think any of them did.
They're not lockable. No. I don't. Some had doors though, I think. But
yeah.
I guess if you were with another couple or it was a smaller group, if you were just in that room, I guess you could close the door.
Yeah,
just because
people
think
closed,
of those.
I think people are generally respectful.
Usually,
that.
Yeah.
So that's that next room. The next room along, again, it had a bed sort of against the side wall.
Yeah.
And I really quite like this room because it was in the eaves of the building, so there was a sloping roof down. And onto that, they had a projector with porn playing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as stark as a TV or a literally a projector screen. It was just the wall was basically playing porn.
Yeah.
And I don't recall there being any sound on it, so it was just pictures and
yeah. And it creates a nice light and it creates an ambience, doesn't it?
Yeah, so another good playroom.
Yeah.
Again, king size bed. The next room along then was the BDSM room.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you were into BDSM, it would be the greatest BDSM room. It was relatively small, not that much equipment.
Not much, but given it was relative to the size of the club.
Yeah, true. You know, St. Andrew's Crossing there.
Yeah, there isn't a dungeon and stuff like that. But they're trying to obviously suit a lot of people's needs. Yeah, yeah.
And then the last is not a room, it's sort of an open area at the end. There was basically a female glory hole.
Yeah. I think there was two of those in that room.
Was there?
You could definitely get two females in there, if not even more, I think. It wasn't just one.
Oh, right, okay. We were chatting to another couple of times, so obviously my eyes were distracted.
Well, it's definitely a female glory hole.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So, and that's the playrooms.
Mm.
But overall, all playrooms were nice.
Yeah.
Lighting was great.
Yeah.
The holding area, as we call it.
I mean, it doesn't sound very, not romantic, it doesn't sound very sexy, does it, to say the holding area, but... That's the way I saw it. And it didn't feel like...
Well, the transition area.
A transition area probably sounds nicer. But even then, it sounds a little bit like, oh, well, we're going to transition now. It didn't feel like that. It doesn't have that feel at all. I just think that...
It's more intimate than downstairs.
It's more intimate. And I think that idea is genius, personally. And I've never seen it in a club. I'll tell you where we have, actually. Something similar at Fatter. Upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
They had a similar feel.
They were beds, though, weren't they?
It wasn't settees, but although there was some kind of seating. But again, it felt like a transition area.
Yeah, into the playrooms.
And if you... I mean, given this club is small, that they've thought about that and put that room in as opposed to just another playroom, well done, because I think that works really well.
Yeah, and we met the owner. And, I'm not sure if it was the co-owner or the manager. But really nice people, friendly. Yeah. They knew that... They chatted to us because I think they knew we were going because they'd retweeted us earlier in the day.
Yes, yeah.
So we had a chat with them and they were nice people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, we chatted to them briefly about potentially an event in the future. It's a bit far for us really, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
But it's a really good club
but
and
if,
it would be
if,
worth
if
travelling to.
If the club was in Manchester, I'd absolutely be making that my local because, for me, it ticked a lot of boxes.
Yeah, I
like the size of it. I like the friendly feel. I like the twinkly lights.
So you
like
a little bit smaller.
No,
good,
I'm basically...
Good to know.
I think it was just the fact that it, when you approach it, you don't approach it and go, I'm going to go and walk into this dive of a sex club. You actually approach it, like I say, whimsical's an odd word, but it felt like it probably because of the fairy lights as you approach it. And I was like, ooh, where are we going? What's this?
Well, like you say, for a club in England not to feel like an industrial unit...
It's a bonus.
Yeah. Because most are. Mm. And then townhouse, that's quite nice inside, but the on the outside it looks like a derelict pub.
Yeah, and they want it to look like a derelict pub because they don't want to bring attention to it.
But so, when you first approach it, it doesn't give you that feel. Whereas I think Purple Mamba did. So a lot of positives, and I can't really, other than it being a bastard to get to in Nottingham, but that's just from where we live.
Yeah, of course.
It's if you lived on that M1 stretch.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah, I think it's a really nice
club. We're only giving our opinion on the club on the takeover night. We don't know what the usual crowd is. So we've got a relatively, you know, from the clientele point of view, we're with a crowd of people that we mostly know.
Yeah, we knew at least 70% to say hello to, I think.
So we're kind of giving just our thoughts on the club structurally, I suppose, as opposed to what it's actually like on a regular night.
Yeah, we can't say what it's like on a regular night.
We might go back another time, though, I think, and visit that and see how we feel, you know, on a different time.
Yeah, but I think from the clubs we've been to in England, I really like it.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to like about it and not a lot to dislike, really.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, nothing really to dislike, I'd say.
No, I liked it. Yeah, I liked it.
So, an excellent club. Give it a go if you can and you are over that way.
Yes.
So, we decided to leave. It was quite late, wasn't it? Because we got chatting to a couple that we've known a long time.
Well, okay. So, if you remember, we were talking about the chat group beforehand.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was trying to skip
forward. And we were saying how we weren't really feeling the group. It wasn't anybody in particular.
We knew most of the people, didn't we? But it just, it just wasn't our vibe, really.
It wasn't really our vibe, yeah. And then we'd had a few other people a few other couples that had mentioned a similar thing to us, hadn't they, beforehand, and had questioned whether to go. Anyway, we did go. And do you know what? We had a nice night, didn't we?
Yeah, really good
and
night.
And so, if you remember on the last episode, I said, you know, we'll report back. We decided to go, we would report back and let you know whether
Mrs. G,
not
reporting for duty. Well,
it's whether or not if you're not feeling the group, the chat group that is, should you still go? Our experience, still go. However, on reflection now I've done the night, we knew a lot more people there than I think I was thinking of. And it's because those people we knew were quite quiet on the group.
Yeah.
And so that's what's interesting. It's a nice reminder to me that sometimes just check out actually who is going.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Rather than just thinking, I'm not sure I'm really connecting with anybody here, you know?
Yeah, and as I say, we probably knew 70% of the people to say hello
as it
to.
Happens, yeah.
And we had a good night catching up with various couples that we know pretty well.
Yeah, yeah.
And we ended up in the transitioning area for quite a good hour or two, probably.
Yeah, chatting.
And we were chatting to a couple that we've known over a year to say hello to. We chatted to them on our social back in December.
We did, yeah.
And we had a really good night chatting to them. Lovely couple. And nice to get to know them a bit better.
Yeah, no, and that's it. And we didn't play.
I don't think we ever really had it in our minds.
I don't think
play.
We were in that mindset. But do you know what? That's okay. I know we've said this, we keep saying it, but there are nights we'll go out and we're not in the mindset at all, and then suddenly, there you go, you've ended up in some kind of amazing place situation. And then there's other times where you think, well, we're going to a sex club, so, you know, need to get the mindset. Sod that. Ultimately, if you go into a club, you go into a club. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Don't feel a level of anything disappointing-wise if you've not had any kind of play. Because we still had a really good night.
Yeah,
I still dressed down. Did you dress down? Yeah, you did.
I think again, 95% of all men and women dressed down.
And then we've gone back to the hotel. Did we get food? I'm trying to remember.
Yes, we stopped at, I don't know, pizza place or something
like
that.
Oh, we did get a pizza. We did, yeah.
There wasn't a repeat pizza sex, though.
Well, it was just different sex.
It was. I think it's because we ate before.
Possibly.
That pizza sex episode, it arrived amidst.
Amidst, and you had to go downstairs with your hard on.
We're talking back about episode 5, by the way, if nobody's listening.
Of course.
That's a story from episode 5.
So, yeah, we went back and we took with us, didn't we, to our hotel trip,
the purchase
of the splash blanket. Just because it seems my vagina is a bit gushy. seemingly now.
Lovely romantic way of putting
it. It doesn't happen all the time, but, you know, we thought we'd give it a go. And just we thought we'd better road test the splash blanket, and it worked quite well.
Your vagina or the splash blanket?
Both.
No, we did. We had a great time, didn't we?
We did. We enjoyed ourselves.
And similar to how we said at Penthouse, sometimes it's nice just to be away together, yeah. Got a hotel room, there's no kids around, yeah. You're out of your normal environment,
yeah.
And you just connect with each other.
Yeah.
And we had some really hot sex that night.
Yeah.
And yes, you did manage to soak me, which was hot.
Yeah.
And yeah, we had a great old, long old shag, didn't we?
A shag.
Or bonk, as the word's been used to us today.
So, yeah, all in all, it was a good time. And as you say, it was good to get away.
There was the scene later, I think in the next morning, where the bathroom sink was literally full of toys.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a couple of your vibrators, I think the glass dildo.
Probably a cock ring in there.
A cock ring with vibrator on it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there was something else as well. And I think we messed around and tried a couple of new condoms out. And
yeah.
I think, from memory.
Yeah, I think. I don't know. It's hazy.
It's all a bit of a blur. But, yeah, fantastic time. And so we come back to it again. You don't always have to play with somebody else.
No. To make absolutely, it. To have a good time, yeah.
So that was Purple Mamba, much more successful than we thought it was going to be. A really good club. Great.
Yes.
So that was a few weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But this coming weekend...
Yes.
We've got a large social community.
We have in Manchester, so it's easy for us.
Very, very easy for us.
And it is we've got a chat group, as ever, on these things. It's a fast-paced chat group. And yeah,
it's been on for quite a while because the lady who's organising it, or the couple that are organising it, I don't know, it's probably been 3 months or something like that. Was it end of December, early January?
Yeah. No, it's just there's a lot of... towards regular faces on it though, isn't there?
Yeah, again, so. There's about 90 going, I think, and again, I'm guessing we must know at least 60 of them, at least.
Yeah, no, it'll be good. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, and we've got somebody off the cruise group.
Yeah, they're coming up.
Who we've not actually met yet.
Yeah.
But obviously we know them now from
our own
online
little,
chat.
Yeah, chat.
And we're getting to meet them this weekend, which will be fun.
Yeah, no, it's good.
And yeah, all friends and you. It will be good. It'll be a really good night.
So I think generally, you know, mindsets for the social, I think this is the difference. Because it's a social, for me, I feel zero pressure. I feel zero nerve. It's not that I was nervous, but I've heard people say in the past about how they feel nervous about going to a social. I don't get that at all now.
No, I don't.
I just look forward to it. It's just a night out to me.
Well, a night out with maybe a few snogs or something.
Yeah.
That was pub dog shaking in the background then.
I think it'll be a good old night, regardless of what does or doesn't happen.
Yeah, so we've got a hotel booked, which... It's good because we get to stay over and that means you can just let go a little bit more.
I know, and that's what I'm looking forward to doing. Yeah, we've been talking, haven't we, on the chat group about roll calls. People are starting to throw them on there now. And we've had a few people sort of ask us and say, what do you put on a roll call? What are people looking for? You know, I suppose if you've never done it before and you've never seen them before, you're not going to know what to include or not.
No, I mean, obviously people are putting them on there so you can sort of figure it out. But I think people... put a lot of stock onto them because it's almost like your introduction because it might be the first time that you've put a face photo on there. Which I think is important actually because it's difficult when you're chatting to people and they don't have face photos on the profile, which is completely up to them. Everybody's got their own sort of privacy requirements. But it's difficult to connect to people if they don't know what you look like.
Yeah, definitely. I think photos from a roll call point of view, you're going to meet these people anyway.
Yeah.
You're meeting them face to face. Depending on what platform you're on, with where you're posting your roll call, most of the time you can't screenshot or save that
Whenever we've seen roll calls, it's generally been on a pre-event chat, so it's either sort of KK app or WeRX app or it's Telegram or Discord.
Yeah. I just think the important thing is to keep it light. I think talk about what you enjoy. I think that's important.
In life, you mean?
In life and lifestyle.
So your dynamic, maybe?
Yeah, I think you need to throw in your dynamic. I think you need your names in. Now, some people, again, may not want to use their real names.
Yeah, some have pseudonyms, don't they? So Mr. and Mrs. G,
I
suppose.
But we don't. We use our real names in a roll call situation because I'd rather people knew that.
Also, if you meet them, obviously Mr. and Mrs. G is okay, but if we were using the pseudonyms of, I don't know, Luke and Sarah,
yeah,
or something like that, then if somebody shouted you, you wouldn't turn around, so then you were just a bit ignorant.
It depends how good of an actor you are, I suppose. I'm in Sarah mode tonight. No, I wouldn't do
that.
Yeah.
She's hot.
Is she now? So, yeah, I think names is certainly something on there. Broadly, I would say from sort of where you're from, if it's an event.
Especially if it's a nationwide event.
Yeah, I think then you need to have in, you don't have to do it, but I think it's good for people to be able to, again, build that connection. We're from the north of the UK, we're from Scotland, we're from Yorkshire, whatever. It's quite a good thing to have in, and it starts sometimes a conversation. It can be an opening point, can't it? Perhaps a little bit about vanilla hobbies.
A little bit.
We often put in that we enjoy a dog walk.
Yeah.
Things like we enjoy eating out, we like travelling.
Eating you out? Oh, eating out, restaurant-wise. Yeah. Travelling?
I've said that, yeah. So I think it's worth putting a glimmer of your vanilla life in
again,
there.
It might only be down to sex for you, but with a social, you're meeting people socially. So if they've got similar hobbies, you might think that you might connect easier.
Yeah, I think people will go, oh, we do that too. And it kind of just, it enables the starts of a conversation before you've even met.
Yeah.
And I think that's quite nice, really. We, not always, but sometimes do put in that we've got kids, because I think it helps people understand, again, that you've got family life. So you're not always going to be able to do things at a drop of a hat and stuff like that.
How long you've been established, maybe?
Yeah, how long you've been playing about with the idea, or how long have you actually been in?
I don't necessarily think you have to put, we are brand new, this is our first event. No. Although that might help people sort of ease you in, so to speak.
It might, but I don't think we ever said we were brand new. I don't know, I can't remember if we did or we didn't now. But I think if you did say, this is our first event, you're going to get met predominantly with nothing but just open arms, really, of, yeah, it's fine, we've all been there.
Yeah, exactly. And likewise, if you're experienced, say, you know, we've been in the lifestyle for 5 years, 6 years, whatever, yeah, and then people know that you're going to sort of know what you're doing to a degree.
You would hope, not always.
No, true.
The things to kind of just perhaps loosely sort of not include is things
in
like...
In our opinion,
yeah, I don't think you need to be putting what your occupation in, unless you've got a very unusual occupation and you want to share that, maybe.
Yeah, you know, if you're a Formula One driver, then great, you know. But
we probably know about you, yeah.
If you're working insurance, or you work down at the local shop, or, I don't know, you're a brickie or something, who cares?
Yeah.
It's not, with all due respect to those careers, it's not
relevant. It's not relevant.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
So
you don't need to put in your telephone numbers, usually.
No.
And I think, as well, if you are quite experienced, I would probably avoid the kind of boasty angle of, you know, we've had 23 meets
in
the last month.
Yeah, I remember seeing a roll call once, and it was like, I can make every single woman squirt, even if she never has
done. Are you being truthful?
No, it was on the Last Mansion one.
No.
Do you not remember it?
I want to meet that person and purposely not squirt. Failed! You failed! You didn't do it!
That means he gets to play with you, though.
Depends what it looks
so
like.
So he's worked.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Sucker.
Yeah, I fell for it. So yeah, I think, though, avoid on the boasting. And then also, there's a sort of a fine line between kind of making yourself that you are available and happy to explore certain things, and then coming across as desperate.
Yeah, nothing worse.
Yeah. So I would...
Other than blind drunk, maybe.
Yeah. It gives you that swick, doesn't it?
Completely.
Yeah.
But desperation, nobody likes desperate in life. And
no.
Certainly, well, for us, not in the lifestyle. It's,
no.
It's, yeah. I mean, some people might like desperate because it's like, right, okay, tick, we're going to get there. But...
Yeah, and it might just be our approach to this, but I would imagine that most people would agree with the don't make yourself too desperate looking, really.
Imagine in a roll call if it's like, we just want to meet a couple, or any single woman, or any single guy, and we just want to play. So if you want to come back to our house, straight after, we're down for it. It's like, it'd be an instant. No,
it
thanks.
Would for us, but like I say, perhaps
other people would be
different.
Like, right, easy night, let's go.
Let's go, yeah.
And I suppose the other thing is probably avoid things like your football team, because it's a bit tribalistic, and you don't really want to.
Don't put
sort
a photo of me in your football shirt.
Well, we have done that on a group. There was a thing the other week where
everybody was there.
Oh yeah, yeah, different football shirts, just sexy photos basically. Yeah. So that sort of works. But I think the most important thing is make sure you get a little bit of you across.
Yeah, I would agree. Sorry, just going to jump in there. You were mentioning your football teams. Politics is a no.
Yeah.
And religion, I would say, is a no. Yeah. Those would be the other things.
Sorry. Well, unless you kink's religious sort of sex.
Then go for it. Fill your boots.
But yeah, make it unique as much as you can and add some of your personality in.
Yeah, I think that comes across in what possibly your vanilla hobbies are. Throw a little bit of that in. Give a glimmer of it, and that is what gives you that unique edge. It's what makes you you. Makes the couple that you are who you are.
Somebody's roll call went out today, and I thought it was brilliant. And he'd basically done their profiles.
Oh, yeah.
As two top Trumps.
Right, so I've no idea where they found
this. Yeah, top Trumps, I'm sure everybody of a certain age knows, but it's a card game where
normally it's cards
or characters and, strength 100 and, things like that. But he's actually mocked them up for him and his partner, well, his wife.
Yeah.
And they're brilliant, and it's just jokey.
It's fun, but it's got people talking and it's got people interested.
Everybody's been all over it. It's
and so,
funny.
You know, well done to them for spending whatever time they have had and for also not taking themselves too seriously, because
that's
we're coming
what I was
back
coming on to.
To
great roll call, don't take yourself
too
seriously.
Because we're coming back to that point, aren't we, of this is meant to be fun. This is meant to be fun.
And just like the gambling adverts, if the fun stops, stop.
Or change.
Yeah.
So what he's done is he's made his roll call very fun.
And I would imagine that, actually call him a genius, because what that does, when the social comes along, everybody will recognise them. They'll remember him.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
He's a swinger genius.
He is.
Mr. Swinger genius.
I know. I think it's because he came in our social in December.
That's what it'll be.
He rubbed off, obviously.
We would never have done those cards.
No. No, we wouldn't have the skill set on the computer.
No.
But no, something like that, again, it comes back to, you said it earlier on, be unique. It was unique. Mm. And other people may now copy that, which is fine, but it was him.
Good on him. Good on him for like you say, being unique, owning that, and not being afraid to go, fuck it, showing everyone else.
Yeah, and he's also been slightly self-deprecating in there, but
yeah,
in a funny
way.
Yeah,
yeah.
And again, I think people like that because, again, it's not that...
You're not taking yourself too seriously, that's why.
No. And, yeah, I thought that was one of the best roll calls I've ever seen.
Yeah,
brilliant.
I agree.
Brilliant. So, anyway, Mrs. G, there's something that has changed in the last couple of weeks. I've been taking a little something, not drugs or anything.
Well...
Sort of. It came about... that there was a chat on the men's chat that I'm on.
Yeah.
There was a chat, and funnily enough, the guy who started it, we've actually connected with them now because they're on our mansion chat.
Yeah.
But he'd been talking about wanting to...
Sorry to interrupt. Mansion chat. You need to explain what that is.
I don't think we have.
We're going to the...
Have we not mentioned it earlier on? I can't remember.
I don't think we have, but let's just mention it just in case people missed it. The mansion chat is a chat group for... The Killing Kittens, or what are we now? We Are X? Is
well,
that
no,
we're
Killing Kittens is a brand on We Are
right,
X. Which
the mansion. The mansion. There's a chat group that we've opened for that, but it's under the Killing Kittens
I think the official ones open really late and are absolutely nuts because there's like 500 or 600 people on. We chatted about it in episode 31, I think.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of people that had sort of said, is there going to be a chat group?
Yeah,
and so
we've just decided.
And we're connected with quite a lot of people because we've done a couple of socials and things like that. So I said, right, okay, we'll set one up. And there's about 50, 55 of us on there now.
It's a nice group. Yeah.
It's getting going. It's 6 weeks to go.
Oh, there's a lot of people on there.
Mixed group.
Killing Kittens, if you are listening. There's a lot of people on there that are new, that don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And they don't get any information, and this is perhaps a slight downfall.
Luckily, we have got the Queen of Dress Down on the group.
Well, I know all that, but it's just, if anybody wanted to feedback, that's a bloody big feedback. They need to just send an email out a good month in advance so people know what to expect.
Are you being what to wear and things
like
that?
It's just all sorts. Like, can't work, like, Brad... actually asked the question, are we allowed to play anywhere?
Are you supposed to say that Brad's on the group?
I don't think he'll mind, will he?
Well, probably not.
It's no big deal, is it?
Yeah.
Anyway, we've completely and utterly gone off there. Go back to what you were saying.
So, yes, this guy anyway, he's on the Mansion chat. Seems like a nice guy. But he had said that he'd been looking into how to make his erection a little bit firmer sometimes.
Right.
By that, I don't think he's talking like Viagra firmer. I mean, literally just make it a bit firmer.
Yeah, it's interesting this, because this is all men chatting.
This is all men chatting.
It's all men chatting, and I don't think any woman's asked for this, but carry on.
Nope. And maybe increase the volumes of the cum.
But why?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, Mrs. J, sometimes in life...
Here we go.
There are visual things.
Oh, man.
And it's like, there's nothing better, you'd think, than seeing a beautiful sunset. In Ibiza, we've done it. Mm-hmm. You know, you see the sunset drop over.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing visually
mm-hmm.
quite as hot.
Here we go.
As seeing your wife coated in cum.
For you?
I think most men probably like it.
I don't even. Anyway, carry on.
I don't think it's an ick for
tell, women. Tell the listeners what you've been taking.
So, anyway, he'd suggested that a Chinese herbal remedy.
Do you know what words come into my mind again?
Bullshit.
Gullible. Again! You're buying cheap, crappy, wanky toys, and now we're talking about cheap, crappy
Chinese herbal medicine. It's a big thing. There's stores all over the place. Mm. But anyway, ginseng, which is a root that you get in the mountains.
You don't even really know, do you?
I do. I've researched this.
Can we just put a disclaimer in that you don't really know?
If
anybody's going to try this...
Chinese herbal advice. This is, you know, go research on the internet. I'm just saying what I
ask your doctors if you're going to take some of this. Ask your doctor first.
You say that, but then it's similar to acupuncture. No doctor would
I know, but if somebody's on medication and you're saying, well, I'm having some ginseng, it's making me cock hard and it's giving me a load of cum.
Right, anyway.
Any man listening to this is going to go, I'm going to get me some of that.
Well, anyway.
Mr. G said...
Thanks for being the Debbie Downer.
I'm for health and safety right now.
Great. So, anyway, the thing is he said about ginseng, which, as I say, is a root, a bit like ginger, looks a bit like ginger, but they sell it in pills like some Holland and Barrett. Thought, nah, bollocks to that. So I went down to the Chinese supermarket. We've got a Chinatown in Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
I've always liked it down in Chinatown. Mm-hmm. It's a little slice of culture in the middle of a big city. So went to the Chinese supermarket, and there amongst the teas was some vials. So like in...
Oh, it's
like,
got to be good then if it's in a vial.
Yeah,
it's medical, vials. Very medical.
Of ginseng oral solution.
All right.
So I thought, right, I'll get me some of them. And... So, it was while you were on your period, actually, I started it.
Why is that even relevant?
Because we weren't really having sex that week.
Okay.
A few days. So, I started taking these, and you're pulling your face at me, going, what the fuck's that? And being your usual little snipey self at me, I can't believe you're being so gullible and all this. And I'm like, you watch. Because this guy in the group had said within 4 days, he'd seen a difference.
Tell everyone what happened then.
Right, so, anyway... So, you're on your period, so that, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, I only came a couple of times, it was lucky enough for you to give me a blowjob and etc. So, anyway.
Are you going to tell everyone about you waking up in that morning?
Wait.
All right.
Right. So, I'd noticed, after about 4 days of taking it, so I'm taking these little vials, 10 mils, that's all, ginseng oral solution, and I'm taking it with zinc as well, so I take a little zinc capsule, which is recommended by this guy who probably doesn't know what he's talking about, but I've read it on the internet as well, it must be true.
I think zinc's all right.
Yeah, exactly. So, having the ginseng, quite pleasant tasting. So, I suddenly noticed I was waking up in the morning, and I normally wake up with a bit of a boner,
mm-hmm.
but it was like rock solid. Mm. Like rock solid.
You were playing tense, weren't you?
Fucking hell, was a pitch in a tent. So I'd like grab your hand and, as ever when you're asleep, you sort of pull it back. I'd be like, feel this back.
Don't disturb me when I'm sleeping.
Well, obviously. Yeah. So anyway, the moral of the story is, I've got to tell you, you weren't actually sunburn and peeling. No, not really. So anyway, it was rock solid. And I was like, oh, you know, are you doing your period yet or what? And anyway, the time came.
Uh-huh.
And I'd come about, I don't know, 48 hours, 24 hours earlier, that was
right.
it. And so we cracked on.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came, when I was ready,
mm-hmm.
I pulled out of you because we were having sex.
Because why though? Why
I
did
wanted
you,
to come on you.
You wanted to see your wares.
I wanted to, well, it was basically, what good is a test without a result?
Right, go on.
So anyway, I started to come on you.
Yeah.
On your tits and on your sort of chest.
Yeah.
And then you went, fucking hell, how much is that? And I started laughing. And then it was like, I just came again.
Yeah.
And a whole other load.
It did. I will agree with you. I'll hold my hands up a little bit. And I am being a bit, you know, but, sarky and calling you a bloody gullible.
But that's just
bugger.
The cum. That's just the cum.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say about the
You
action?
Did feel like you had a cock ring on. So with that kind of hard. But it felt a bit longer. Like, I can't, I don't even want to say that, actually, out loud, because there's going to be, let me finish, hang on, because you're going to interrupt me, and I don't want to, because I really feel like we need so many disclaimers around this, because there's going to be men, God love you all, gullible buggers, listen to this, good, it makes your dick harder, it makes it longer, and there's loads to come, I'm going to go, and there's going to be somebody who's going to overdose on ginseng because the G's have told them.
Oh, no, you're supposed to want to take so much, read
please,
up on the internet.
Please, don't just go taking all this stuff, because you're taking it.
I think it's important to note as well, also a side effect, and it might have been because you were on your period, but I was fucking horny as.
You're always horny.
I was extra horny.
You was an extra layer. Yeah, you were.
I mean, it didn't help that this week you've been putting some photos out that I took last week, and they're fucking hot photos, and you're sending them to me at work saying, what do you think of this for Twitter today or for a group or whatever? And I'm like, holy fuck.
Well, I don't know. I mean...
Longer, more cum volume, harder. Don't go and buy it. But seriously, we haven't got shares in Ginseng Inc. or whoever make it. We haven't got any sponsorship. This is purely down to this one guy, and there's a few others saying, oh yeah, we've done that as well.
Mm, okay.
Can
you take it forever and ever?
I guess so. I don't know.
You need to research.
But
we don't know.
Put it
the
this way
to
now.
That.
Angelina's done a bit of research.
Oh, has she now?
And she believes that ginseng can help a woman's libido.
Right.
And she also believes it can make a woman's boobs bigger. So her and Brad have also ordered some off Amazon, I think.
Of course they have.
The same stuff. Unfortunately, it's twice the price of Chinatown,
yeah.
But they've ordered some. And then we were telling the hot wife couple as well, and she went, bigger boobs? And he was like, bigger boobs?
So they ordered some.
And he was like, well, she said to him, Mr. Hot Wife, get it ordered. So they've not confirmed whether they've ordered it,
so
but
you
I'm
know,
thinking
like,
they were done.
You know, in about 4 months' time on the news channels,
when all these women have drowned in cum?
No, when there's a spate of deaths, of people in their 40s because they've been taking too much Chinese medicine.
Ooh, Mr.
You're
Hot
to blame.
Isn't in his 40s.
Well, he will be soon ish, kind of.
So. He's not going to be happy with you. But I can imagine the news now. We bring you a special report that a series of large breasted women have unfortunately drowned in semen.
No, it'll be that everyone's died of a heart attack because you're not meant to be taking this bloody thing.
It can't be. I mean, Viagra and Stiflidel or whatever it's called,
That
literally pumps more blood to your penis. This can't
Anything
be
Anything you're putting in your body needs to be checked before you put it in your body.
Oh, yeah, I've seen you put plenty in your body without checking it first.
I sniffed it first.
Ew!
Let's move on from drug dealing. Come on, let's carry on.
Have you got any that have just come out of somebody else's arse? Because that would be off-putting.
You have a new condom.
Hey! Right, so yeah, ginseng. Maybe it's the future,
maybe
it's not. But
we will find out.
We like it. You're taking it as well now.
Only because of peer pressure.
Peer pressure.
Peer pressure. To,
oh, yeah, because you're one to
subside. No, do you know what it is with me? It's FOMO. I'm like, okay, I want to try some too then. Let me see. But I've not noticed.
So when you tried, when you were laying in bed the other night, what did you say?
My boobs are a bit tingly, but that could just be a whole number of reasons. But apart from that, I am absolutely shattered this week.
I mean, I've given them the taste test on the nipple and there was no difference.
No.
So, yeah, that's our little ginseng story anyway. Mm. So, on to continuing the conversation about cocks.
Oh, okay.
We obviously had a discussion on the last episode about condoms and condom sizes.
It's been quite received rather well, it would seem. I'm quite pleased about that because I was worried it might come across as we said on the pod about, you know, oh, we're measuring cocks and all this. I didn't want it to come across
really
like that.
No, that's not really us anyway. But no, we did get quite a lot of feedback about it, feedback as well. With people like, nope, never knew that.
No, I know, right?
Didn't really get that. So
hopefully
I think
it's been helpful to a few people.
As well as ginseng now, I think tape measures have been selling quite well. But no, we actually worked it into conversation with our son. Not that we've been podcasting about cock sizes. Because that'd be weird.
No, I think it's because he'd had recently a PSHE class.
Yeah.
And
so he's 15.
He's 15. So he's obviously, he turned 16 this year. He's becoming of a legal age. And so we have more conversations with him now, surrounding sex and sex positivity,
well,
really.
Yeah, I think that's important.
We do it with all the children, to be fair. But
as our 13-year-old girl said, brilliantly, I thought, she said, strict parents meet rebellious kids.
Apparently
and
so.
I don't think we are massively strict. We're not super liberal either. We're sort of balanced, I'd hope.
Yeah, I would say.
But, yeah, there's certainly no embarrassment about talking about sex, which you'd expect from so many parents.
But I think that we have sex-positive chats with all the kids age-appropriately.
Yeah. Well, you tell them about bullets and things like that.
So I think, you know, I think it's important. But we were chatting. All the kids were there, actually.
Yeah, it was at dinner table, wasn't it?
And we were talking about condoms and such like, because he'd had this PSHE class. So we jumped on it a little bit, thinking, following on from the conversation that we just had on the pod.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "What can you tell me what your takeaway was? What did you learn from that class when you were being taught about condoms?" I was kind of hoping that he was going to say, yeah, there's different sizes, there's different varieties, blah, blah, blah. He didn't. His takeaway...
Well, you asked him about brands, firstly.
Different brands.
He knew Durex.
He did.
Which
is
a
massive
market
brand,
leader.
Yeah. But he didn't really understand anything about different materials. That's never been discussed.
No.
Allergies, reactions. Is that not just a basic thing? Obviously not. His takeaway from the whole class was two things. One was they come in different colours and flavours.
Yeah, which we said, why are they telling you about flavours?
Well, then he queried and condoms. Said, why would you want a flavoured condom? It didn't stick to his mind why you would want
so
it.
I said,
well, depending on what type of sex you're having, and the penny dropped with him, at which point he's a bit like, oh, I'm having this conversation with my mum. And I was like, and then he kind of went, but why do you need a condom for oral sex?
Yeah.
Huh? Why are we not educating STDs?
Yeah, in fairness though, we've not encountered anybody in the lifestyle so far.
Absolutely.
Who uses any,
but you can still educate it.
Yeah, any protection for oral sex. Either way. Obviously,
but
we talked way,
educated.
Way back about dental dams and
vaginal
dams and condoms for blowjobs, etc. But we've not encountered anybody at all who uses them.
No, but you can still educate in it.
Yeah.
The other thing was his takeaway. So there was the flavours and the colours. And the other thing was that they put a condom on a banana. And there was one banana and one condom.
No, it wasn't a banana. He said it was like this pole wooden
stick.
He
called
thing.
It a banana, but it would have been a fake dildo-y type thing. And there was one of those with one condom per six children. Or six teens. I hate using the word children with this, but teens. So not all of them got to try it.
Which...
astonishing.
From a personal experience as well, we talked about it last week, always hated putting condoms on.
And I accept there's cost. And I accept, All of the reasons that somebody will say to me that the government won't put
the
money in.
You know, the simplest way to sort this, but schools don't think like this. As a former governor of the school, I know they don't think like this. Mm. Go to Durex Market Leader and say, okay, do you want to provide the schools with 500 condoms a year? Because then, if you wouldn't go to Durex because of the Market Leader, go to somebody else. And then their condoms are in the consciousness because kids are all handling them, using them. What do they go and buy when they start having sex? Their brand. Simplest thing in the world. No fucker thinks about it.
Can I make a better suggestion? They go to all the companies and ask them for it because then they get a variety of brands with a variety of sizes. And the point of discussion comes up.
That's not the way sponsorship works.
It might not be, but if they had it from different brands, it shows there's a variety.
There'd be nothing in it for the brands to do it then. You want exclusivity. That's why you only get Coke in McDonald's.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get it. Either way.
Welcome to the business podcast. And marketing.
The condom business podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
And education. So it wasn't overly great or encouraging that we're still not really educating.
In fairness, I think the flavour thing is probably the teacher who I'm guessing will not be hugely sex positive, slightly awkward because that's how a lot of the PHSC teachers are.
They appear to be.
It's a way to try and make it a bit funny and a bit
fun. An icebreaker.
So I get that. But when we talked about sizes, we said, do you know they come in different sizes? And he was like, no.
He had absolutely no idea.
And we said, well, when you think about size, what do you think? He only, like I did, he only thought length for size.
Yeah.
So we tried to explain, well, actually, if you think about putting a condom on your finger or a condom over three fingers, then obviously there's a difference to how it goes on. And he was like, oh, right, okay. And it's slightly awkward talking to your mum and dad about it. But
he warmed up with it really well, though, I thought. He dealt with it maturely. And, you know, each to their own. Everyone's going to parent their own kids in their own way. But I'm pleased that we have that open communication with our 15, turning 16 kid.
All kids are going to have sex at some stage because that's what we all do.
I don't want him really to have sex at 16, but if he makes that choice,
but
there's nothing we can do
about
it.
I'd rather him, whenever he chooses and whenever our daughters are older and they choose, because they're younger than him, then that's fine. If they're ready to have sex and they're all positive about it and the partners are, that's fine, but be safe.
Yeah, and
be responsible.
Yeah.
Consent, safety.
Yeah.
They're the two big takeaways,
absolutely,
really.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a really interesting topic. We have had somebody who's reached out to us, actually, who is a PSHE teacher.
Or she's in charge of PHE, or something like that.
So I am going to have a bit of a bit of communication with her, just see what are they meant to be educating kids on in the UK schools, and if it's conflicting to what our teens are telling us, really. I'm not going on any big crusade about it.
We're
going to
become the Marcus Rashford of condoms.
We're going to have a mascot that's just like this funny banana with a condom on its head.
I don't know.
Also a pencil sharpener in its ass. What?
Your mind's fucking weird at times.
I'd say what else we were going from craziness to even crazier here. We were chatting this week, weren't we, about why couples get into the lifestyle.
Yeah, and we were thinking of just asking one of our groups sort of few questions, probably maybe even the cruise group, because that's a real mix of people.
Yeah.
Although some of them might say we listen to these fuckers on a podcast. So.
I think that might be the case. It's really good fun.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
But no, we haven't done yet because life's just crazy. But why do everybody knows why we got into it?
We've got a few podcasts about it.
Exactly. But I think there tends to be two really common things. One of them is the woman in the couple has either bisexuality or bicuriosity, wants to explore that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we chatted to somebody recently at one of the clubs that we went to, and they were brand new. And we sort of said, oh, why have you got into it? And the guy, completely honest, and he just said, oh, yeah, she said that she fancied exploring a bisexuality side. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
And I get that to a degree.
Yeah.
It does massively do things for me. It's hot when I watch you with a woman, but it's hot when I watch you with a man. It's just
makes
hot
no
watching
odds,
you for me. But I get why a lot of guys really like it. It's a big fantasy for a lot of guys, threesome or watching, you know, two women or whatever. But I think what's lacking there is that thought process of when you see your wife with another woman, that's her having sex with another person that's not you, which goes against all those societal ideas and things. How are you really going to feel? You're just thinking, oh, it's hot.
Mm.
But are you thinking about the emotional side? Are you thinking about all the things that we talked about, all the things that I'm sure everybody feels but don't necessarily think about before?
Right.
So it seems that that's a way that a lot of people rush into it.
Rush into it, but it's the reason they get into it. It's the reason to take the steps, really, isn't it? I think it's just, it's interesting, really. I think some couples get into it because they've become stale.
That was the other reason I was going to say.
It's not a nice word, really, that actually, but well, it kind we, of is talk, a word to summarise it.
Well, you know, rephrase it then of, you know, life gets in the way, life takes over, whatever you want to say.
Stagnant, maybe.
Yeah, ultimately, it's if you do what you always did,
you get what you always got.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think there's a big element of that. And I think people that get into it that have become perhaps stale, stagnant, stayed, however you want to phrase it, sometimes don't always know the way that they're going. They're just looking for that. I guess we were guilty of that, though, to be fair. But I wasn't driven by bisexuality.
No,
that wasn't
at all
my drive. It was more just for the excitement and possible of fun, that there could be another layer of fun.
Yeah,
that would
I think
come with
as
this.
Well, for us, it was very much, I mean, it was very much the excitement that it brought us as a couple and what it did to our own sex life. And, you know, we were several months before we got into actually doing anything with anybody.
Yeah.
But it was the excitement it gave for us. So in a way, we probably fall into that second category a bit.
Yeah.
I don't think our marriage was stale, but our sex life was probably not as exciting as it is now.
No, yeah, I
forget,
agree. Yeah.
Forgetting anybody else, just between me and you.
Yeah.
And that's just being completely honest. So I think a lot of people do that, but I think what people don't anticipate is, like a roller coaster, what goes up also comes down.
Yeah.
So as much as you get the excitement, as much as you get the thrills, you also get the downs of, I don't think it's jealousy so much, but triggers.
Definitely. You're dealing with emotions.
Yeah.
There has to be triggers.
And, you know, when you get married, you don't expect your partner necessarily to be going sleeping with other people.
If you're getting married in a conventional sense, but there are people that marry knowing that they're already poly and such.
Typically, so when you see that, or when you start thinking about it, it obviously brings a mix of emotions, and there's times we've talked about processing till, you know, the cows come home. But I'm not sure a lot of people see that, and we've got some really close friends in the lifestyle now, like really close, probably closer than any vanilla friends in a way, because you share so much more.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not talking sexually, I mean conversation and so on. And I think what we're finding is sometimes it's, and I'm really trying to be careful not to sound judgmental or anything like that, but it's also the couples that have had some issues in their lives.
Yeah.
Some
with each other as a couple, you mean?
Yeah, some real challenges.
Yeah.
And I don't mean they fell out because they ran out of money that month.
No, you
I mean
like
mean that.
Losing a child or
losing
close family
member in an
yeah.
accident, a shock.
A shock, a trauma. Trauma of
trauma
some type.
Is,
yeah,
that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah. Some traumatic event.
Because it could even be an illness that they've survived.
Yeah,
and
I don't
like that,
really mean the death of a parent. I mean, you know, I've lost a parent since we've been together, but I don't. There's trauma to a degree, but I more mean something that is completely unexpected. We all expect to lose our parents at some
stage. Right, it's trauma.
Yeah.
It's deep trauma. It's like you say, it's the shock trauma, I think, possibly as well, when you deal with perhaps, you know, an illness diagnosis as well.
Yeah.
Have to pull together.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes or it breaks you, those sorts of incidents
and
in life.
I think, going back to it, the couples that we've really seen where there's that solidity, because if that didn't rock you enough to break you, you'll
nothing
be okay
will.
In this.
Absolutely. It's interesting that's something we've discovered as we've evolved and gone in this journey longer, you know, down the line, that you it's hard to kind of articulate it or put it across, but you're absolutely right. If you've a couple that has come through adversity, and
like real adversity,
yeah, not just I've stubbed my toe or I've locked my hamster's died. It's something stronger than that. Like you say, that it would break most people.
Yeah, something that would really break you. I'm not throwing in infidelity into it because I don't understand that particularly because we've not had that. So that's a different thing because it's related to sex. Yeah. I'm talking about unrelated to sex, really.
Yeah, but if they have survived that, come through the other side, then stepped into the lifestyle, I mean, that is pushing. Yeah. And they're still going. That shows a solid couple to me.
And I think what it is, and Brad said this in the past, is whoever you meet, because one of the common things for people in the lifestyle seems to be, oh, when you were with them, what if you like them more or what have you? But like you said, ultimately, he says it, that you can't replace what you've had over time or over something really serious with a quickie.
Yeah, no.
Or one night or something like that.
You've too much depth that one sex session could ever replace that depth.
He's great, Brad, in so many ways, but he's literally, he says people mistake lust for love.
Yeah, he's dead right with that.
There's very rarely love in the lifestyle. It can grow and it can be lovers' friends, and then you've got your polyamorous people who may well love another partner.
Perhaps more open to love from the get-go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you might meet somebody and really love fucking them. That's different than loving them.
Or it's not even just fucking. It could just be that you really enjoy the being appreciated or being around that person because it's something different.
Yeah.
If you've come into it because you become staid or stagnant, you're then suddenly seeing somebody else or they're seeing you as well when you're seen so sexy. But it's very, that's still lustful. It's not love.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like when you first meet a new partner when you're single.
Yeah.
Initially, it all feels fantastic. And
yeah,
like
honeymoon
you says,
period, isn't it?
Yeah, when suddenly there's clothes all over the floor or whatever. And we're not going to do it this episode, but we've listened to a really good podcast, both of us, which is unusual for you because you don't listen to podcasts.
I listened to all of it, all the way through, and played a little bit back.
Yeah.
Who am I?
We'll go into it more probably on one of the next couple of episodes because what we want to do, there's some really interesting
discussion
medical,
points,
scientific, psychological points.
Yeah.
And we related with so much of it and could almost say, oh, we chatted about that on the pod. And the difference is, this podcast is from a doctor who is scientifically and psychologically breaking down reasons behind things.
They're qualified.
We're living them and lived them.
We found some real similarities, didn't we?
Yeah, so we talked about it from the point of view
across,
of living
it.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, they're talking about the theory of it as such. And you put the two together, it's really interesting. So we'll probably look at that in one...
another episode down the line, I think. But I think, you know, going back to the love-lust kind of debate or the fact that it's not the same thing, I think there's things where you can start to question, am I doing the right thing, am I not? And I think one of the things we were saying is if the moment you get to the point where you start to hide things from your partner.
Yeah.
So you might have separate chats. Some people have that. That's
fine.
Yeah,
that's not for us.
But if you're hiding it or you're turning away or anything you're hiding, that means it's gone too far.
Well, I even remember at one point, you ringing me in, I was walking around lunchtime, I think, around Manchester, and I think you rang me and went, oh, I didn't realise I've started a chat with a single guy on KK. He's connected. I've started chatting and you're not on the group. And it's because you didn't know how to set the chat.
Yeah, it was.
But instantly you told me because you didn't want it hidden. And
no.
I go back to months and months ago, we went to the pub with the neighbours.
Yeah.
And Mr. Neighbour, in all his wisdom, had sort of said he feels things are getting too much if you can't stop thinking about somebody.
Yeah.
And this is almost an evolution of if you can't stop thinking of somebody, but even more so, if you choose not to tell your partner about something, then it's that line of where does ethical non-monogamy
become non-ethical.
Lose the ethical part of it.
Yeah.
And again, the fairy godfather said anything can be ethical non-monogamy if it's ethical to you two. But if you're hiding things, then the other person doesn't get the choice of whether that's ethical or not.
Yeah, they're not involved. Yeah. And so therefore the balance has gone.
And it might be that it's, I don't want to know anything about your meat.
Yeah.
You go meet and tell me all about it afterwards, which is fine because that's your rules. That's your boundaries.
That's where you've set it, yeah. It's a funny one.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's wrap it up.
Okay. There's pub dogs shaking again.
Let's wrap it up. That possibly can be revisited in another episode as well, because I think it's an interesting point. But hope you enjoyed the episode. We have a social coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
So that should be fun. We'll talk about it on the next episode, and we shall catch you soon.
Okay, bye for now. If any of our gorgeous listeners would like to contact us, we can be reached at Twitter at Sexless Swingers, email hello@sexlessswingers.co.uk, or on Fab, the_sexless_swingers.